1 Samuel 15:22. This is when Saul was told to go destroy all the Amalekites, utterly destroy them and save nothing. And I might come back to this, but we find in 22 of 1 Samuel 15, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And then we're going to go quickly to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10:40. Luke 10:40, and maybe put your thumb here because we're going to come back here many times tonight. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Today I'm going to go through quite a few things about the story of Mary and Martha. I'm going to try and unpack what we know is a pretty standard story that we've probably heard many times, and present it to you in a different way about basking in God's presence, serving, and having the right attitude. Pastor, if I could please ask you to say a blessing. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So like I said, we're going to be in Luke 10 for almost the whole sermon. But I'll give a quick recap of the chapter. We have the 70 that are sent out, and they come back, and they're excited because they say that the devils are subject unto us. And then Jesus says, well, you should be rather happy that your names are written down. So that's kind of the beginning of Luke 10. And then we have the lawyer that asks, how could I inherit eternal life? Thereby giving lawyers for the rest of time a bad name, a stereotype. The lawyer says, how must I, or how shall I, or how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you need to love the Lord with all your heart and love thy neighbor. And he goes on to say, well, who is my neighbor? And this is when we have the story of the man who has the problems on the side of the road, and the Levite walks by and doesn't help him. But then the Samaritan comes along, which we all know, the Good Samaritan, and helps him. And we could probably do a whole lesson on that too, because if you recall, the Levites were actually from the house of Aaron. They were the chosen, the priestly folks. So there's a little bit of a little mini sermon out there. But as we know, then the lawyer says, well, the Samaritan was the good neighbor. But then we have the story of Mary and Martha. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I'm going to go back to Luke 10, and I'm going to read the three scriptures around 40, starting at 38. Leaving off right after the Good Samaritan story. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So just a quick recap, and I actually went through and read many of the instances in the Bible where we have the different accounts of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Martha was the one that received him. So Martha came to receive him. And there's this sister named Mary, that just sat at his feet, just listened to him talk, just basked in his glory. And it said, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And my translation of that in looking at some of the original text is, she was busy stewing about. She was busy milling about, stewing about, working, preparing, serving. But here's where the problems come in. The challenge to Jesus. She challenged Jesus. She said, quote, "Dost thou not care? Dost thou not care?" It's a really interesting thought if you think about this woman who's stewing about saying, "Dost thou not care?" Why didn't she say something to Mary like, "Can you help me, please? Can you come in the back and help me? I'm really busy." But instead, she went straight to Jesus. I read it and it jumped out at me, and I have a number of comments that we're going to go through here, but I'm going to carve this up into three different pieces, or at least attempt to. The first one is this notion of being busy serving. Busy, so busy serving that we miss our purpose. The second one is the spirit of jealousy. And then the third point we will touch on, the spirit of manipulation. So we're going to start with point one, which is serving and being busy. And if this is a 20 or 30 minute message, this is probably 15 of it. But serving and being busy. I'll quickly recap 2 points in 40 and 42. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, as I've read. And in 42, we find, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Don't miss your chance to bask in his glory. She chose that good part. Don't get so preoccupied. And I'm going to tell you, I cobbled this together kind of preaching to myself. And I'll tell you what I mean probably here in a few minutes, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords might be sitting right in front of you, just like he was sitting right in front of Mary and Martha, but she missed it. Don't get so preoccupied with doing things, with serving, with stewing, that you miss God Almighty. At work, you can be so busy. You could be so busy at work, and I've segued to the office. I don't know where you all work, but you get so caught up in the trivial things of business. If I look at my calendar tomorrow, it probably starts at 7 and it probably goes until 5 or 6. And over the noon hour, meeting. This is my life 5 days a week. The trivial can so engulf me that I lose my joy of, I think I won the lottery of life. I sent out a note to my team over the Christmas break, and I wrote this very heartfelt note to my team saying, don't miss that we all are blessed. We're the second largest ag company in the world, and I grew up wanting to work for a company like a Case or a John Deere. And I have the pleasure of running the aftermarket division for our business, but I could go home and I could be so beat down from the trivial that I forgot that I won the lottery of life, and that I work where I always dreamt about working. Much like Martha, missing the King of Kings sitting right in front of her face because she was busy in conference calls or stewing. This can even happen when you serve in the kingdom. And I'm going to tread very, very lightly, because when I put this together, it was actually right when my wife and I were assigned leading the youth, right before we moved here. And we all know somebody that has been so busy that they, you know, putting on a kids program or doing this or doing that, and the list is long. And that's not what this is about. So please don't take this the wrong way. Receive this with an open heart. But we can get so busy, whether it's at work or even here, that we miss our moment this morning, this evening, to be paralyzed by Jesus Christ himself, having torn the veil and wanting to breathe on us. But we miss it, and we've all done it. And that's a lot of what this lesson is about tonight. We're made to worship. We have been made to worship. We know that we worship day and night. We know that the 20 and 4 elders worship day and night, and they cry holy. And somehow I always go back to that every time I'm up here. But we are made to worship. As we walk in, who has noticed the gold letters above the header lately? Or do we miss it? I wrote Psalms 104 and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't remember the last time I saw that, because I'm so busy with all my kids stewing and encumbering about and serving. But it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I don't know what Mary was doing. We could read this. Maybe she was entering in and kneeling with thanksgiving. But I envision her sitting there just gazing into him, knowing that prophecy that came about thousands of years ago is sitting in front of me. Like Pastor said this morning, even the Pharisees didn't even know it. But here's Mary getting her moment, going, yes, this is he. Psalms 96 and 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Have you ever not been able to find something that's right in front of your face? This is a Kurt and a Kennedy problem. I'm standing, and the analogy I'll use, I'm standing in the pantry looking for, we'll use peanut butter right here. Can't find it. 1 second of searching for it. Kristen! Right? She walks in, millisecond. It's right in front of me right here. If it was snake, I'd be dead. Dead. Same thing, I'm looking for my belt. Can't find it. Boom. Kristen walks in, and it wasn't there, but it appeared. It appeared when she walked in. And I could do this a lot, and my daughter has the gift. My daughter has the gift. I mean, you would think I'm a perfectionist, and I'm very, very much a clean guy, but I am pretty sloppy when it comes to, yeah, there's my desk, put my stuff together, and my little girl has the same blessing. But to bring it back, have you ever missed something sitting right in front of you? We all have, and half the room had a belly laugh there, but Martha missed it. Martha completely missed it. And we're going to go into jealousy and manipulation, but I'm just talking about our purpose of basking in his glory instead of stewing about to miss something sitting right in front of your face. Don't be so focused on serving, so busy on work or a task that you miss God Almighty. He may be encouraging you to take a step forward and go to a higher place. And I have a comment here. I mean, how many people actually have served their way? And you could carve out serve and put so many different words there. It could be socialize. It could be the busy things that we do when we should be, again, basking in his glory. How many people have served, socialized, et cetera, their way out of a blessing? Out of an appointment, out of that next thing that God has willed and ordained in their life. But they couldn't take a seat and be still like Mary and listen to the direction. Does your focus on serving have the risk that it could actually get in the way of your ability to notice, to worship the King of Kings? So let's take inventory, and I'm including myself. Why are we here? Do we love church? I hope you do. I love this place. This morning was paralyzing. I had the privilege Wednesday. I haven't been actually here for 3 weeks, but this week I flew down to where we used to live, and I had the privilege of doing the lesson for the youth where we came from. And it's probably 30, 40, 50 kids, you know, between, I think, 12 and, I don't know how old, 20s or 30. But I walked up to the podium, and I just sobbed. Presence of God just paralyzed me. We had a song service, and all the kids, it's all kids. Old people not allowed, except for I got in. But the kids singing, the kids playing, presence of God was so pure. And I watched some of the little kids that I remember the first time they came. Two little girls prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And one of them had just blossomed like a rose. She was at the end of the service praying with people and just shouting. And I mean, just to see the development, I mean, it was just like, you know, like a proud daddy moment kind of. Because it was. But the presence of God just was paralyzing. And this morning it was very similar. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And sometimes my wife tells me I'm crass and direct and I'm always trying to juggle four kids, but if I'm ever on my way somewhere and I miss eye contact and I don't shake a hand, I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. I just trying to keep the kids wrangled, but I got to get up here. I got to set an example for my kids. I got to bask in his glory, and I know I got things going on, but I got to get up here, because all else is going to fall in. All else is going to fall in. If the path of the righteous man is ordained of God, then if I get up here and I do what I'm supposed to do, then the rest will fall in. The message is not about busyness. Not business, busyness. This isn't about busyness. This is not about serving God. In fact, I know we desperately need people to help with the kids. I know we, and I think there's a gap there, and I think my wife said that she's going to sign up to do that. That's not what this is about. And I'm reinforcing this because it could be received wrong. That's not what this is about. This is about getting busy when we're at church, when instead we need to be a little bit more like Mary. The best we can be like Mary. Sometimes we have a routine. Find that kid we want to hug. Socialize with that person we want to socialize with. Catch up on some gossip. Be a social butterfly. Please be friendly. Please do that. But also be Mary. And be Mary more than you're a social butterfly. Because you might miss that blessing. You might miss that thing right in front of you. I think just to close out point one, if we could be completely full of saints that just want to get to that altar one more time. Amen. Just like Mary. Every time. How much higher would we go? I keep having this thought of the 12 apostles. I keep thinking that we need people bound together like that. We need men that are bound together and meet and have Bible studies and help each other grow. The old in Christ that are here will learn from the brand new, but all the more the brand new will learn from the old. And there's so much opportunity for us to bind together and be like Mary together as a group. But if we can be like that, this is what Jesus wants. And yes, there'll be people serving. Because right behind me during the altar call, there'll be people serving as you do your best Mary impersonation. As you do your best Mary impersonation. The lesson came full circle to me, like I said, when we were appointed to lead the youth down in Springfield. And it was quite a feat because it was Sunday morning Sunday school. And then Wednesday nights, there was a separate service, completely separate service. So your own ushers, your own agenda, the whole, as they say, the whole shooting match. And a couple of weeks, and at the beginning, we ended up building, it's kind of ironic, we ended up building a whole wall out of a bunch of wood pallets that we cut up. And it's not as amazing as the one downstairs, but we did good on a Missouri budget. But two or three weeks into this, I thought, oh, Lord, I need help. Because it's so easy just to skip on by and go straight to my task. And I felt myself slipping. I felt myself missing what I was supposed to really be doing first, which was get on my knees and say, Lord, help me lead these kids. And if I'm going to skip that and go straight to serving the kids, we're all going to fail. We're all going to fail. All right, so the second point in this is accusation or jealousy or being judgmental. And I'll read 40 again. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. Dost thou not care is basically pointing a finger and judging or accusing and saying, you don't care. It was kind of a question, but it's rhetoric. Dost thou not care? The implications there, we could go on for quite some time. Perhaps, and I have an example from life here. You've slaved away at work. So again, roll the tape back to the earlier work example. You've been loyal to the company. You've stepped up. You've moved through the ranks the appropriate fashion. You had your hand up. You did the projects when the projects were needed. The position that you want, that you have your eye on, comes up. And you put your name in. This is mine to take. This is mine for the taking. Because in your mind, you've taken inventory and everything that you needed to do to develop to get there. It's a closed case. And then lo and behold, someone comes along and steps right in front of you and takes it. Happens all the time. How dare them? Don't you see me serving here? Do you see me serving, stewing about, cumbering about? I've been doing it for 3 years, for 10 years. I put in my time. My serving is important. Think of the Mary and Martha example. There's a real parallel analogy here for us. Don't you care about me and my needs of a promotion? And we really never know the qualifications of that other person that took your spot. They took your spot because it was your spot. They may be qualified, they may not be qualified, and maybe it was some nepotism deal, right? But such is life. As a Christian, we continue keeping on the path that God has ordained for us in the Mary and Martha example, in the work example. And God forbid if this would happen in the kingdom. God forbid if this would happen in the kingdom. Lord, don't you care? Look at Mary. God works in very mysterious ways. Let's go to Isaiah 55. 55 and 8. Familiar scripture, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And I think later I'll touch on this scripture a little bit, because in full disclosure, when I read the Mary and Martha story the very first time, I don't know when that was, without really studying it, I was Martha. I was mad at Mary. I grew up walking beans and baling hay, and you worked. At 5, I was walking beans. I was mad at Mary, and I'm like, that's right. Jesus, don't you care? That was me. And I'll touch on that here in a little bit. Can you imagine in this same point of jealousy or accusation, can you imagine the religious, at the time of Paul? Weird guy here. I often imagine myself when I'm putting things together, when I'm studying, when I'm reading, I will close my eyes and I will think about what that would be like. I will imagine being there with Paul but you have to get in the head of what's happening, because the New Testament hasn't played out yet. All I really know is the old law, and they're kind of living in this transition. But can you imagine Paul, as most of us know, he's a persecutor of the church. He actually held the coats when they stoned Stephen. It says he held the coats. He locked them up. And roll the tape forward just a few years, and now he is one of the most influential, authored in the New Testament, powerful, whatever that means, in the kingdom of God. Somebody somewhere was sitting on the front row or the back row and did an eye roll. Somebody did the, this is that Paul guy. It's very much like, hey, don't you care? Because I've been putting in my time, and along comes this guy who locked people up, held the coats. Can you imagine day one in heaven when Paul's walking down the street and he turns around and Stephen goes, you? Can you imagine? Stephen's sleeping, as the Bible says. He's going to one day see Paul, I presume, on streets of gold. Can you imagine? Would he take that bet? I don't think that he would. But to bring it full circle, I mean, we could go through many examples about work. We could go through examples of Paul. Much like Mary and Martha, there's a lot of, let's say, jealousy or accusation that was problematic in this story. And point three is the spirit of manipulation. Martha was cumbered about much serving, and I'll roll the tape forward. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? This is accusing, like we just discussed, but to me it's also an attempt to manipulate. It's an attempt to twist and manipulate to get her way. And I actually put this together from a work perspective, thinking, and maybe a children perspective too, because we see this. We see this with children. We see this sometimes in the office. We see this a lot of different places. We have Martha not approaching the problem with Mary, but rather, she goes around to the back door and asks, like I said, rhetorically, to the King of Kings, don't you care? To me, it's manipulation to try and get in his mind and say, hey, agree with me. You need to agree with me because I'm working here for you and she's lazy. It's manipulative. Compare it to the office. And I've seen this, and I'll say nothing like recent so I can guard myself against the local, but I've had this happen, I would say many times in my life, with people on my team. And one of the first things that I always say is, have you addressed it with them? If Kennedy comes running to me and says this and tries to twist and contort and manipulate a story about Weston did this, well, go get him. Have you guys worked it out together? But rather, she goes straight to Jesus in a manipulative way. So here's an example I put together for what I would say manipulation or bias, and it would be a survey question. If you were doing a survey and you wanted to lead the witness or manipulate or introduce bias, and you were doing something on gun control, and this is not intended to be political in any way, shape, or form, the question would be, many people have said that there is a need for stricter laws on dangerous weapons. Do you agree? Many people said, hey, this is how most people feel. Don't you agree? Very, very manipulative. Or on, has violent crime increased, would be the question. Because of the Columbine tragedy and other shootings, many people feel that violent crime is worse today than it was 10 years ago. Do you agree? Again, a couple of questions introduced to show how you can be very manipulative in asking a question. It's introduction of bias. It's leading the witness, and it's exactly what Martha was doing when she approached Jesus about Mary. It's better to be noticed for what you do or to continue to do the best that you can do than to tear someone else down, than to bring them down to try and lift your stature, to add, as the Bible says, a cubit to yourself. We all have a spot in life, and I have a couple of fun stories as I near a close to bring this together. We all have our own spot in life, and I have a story that reminds me, and it's one of my favorite texts, but in the church we know that we all have a place. There, we know that some people are ears, and some people are feet, and some people are hearts. And I think Pastor did a message on this here a little while ago, but we all have our place. We all have our place in our family. We all have our place in church. So I'm going to read a paragraph excerpt from a very famous person. And when you discover what you will be in your life, set out to do it as if God Almighty called you at this particular moment in history to do it. Don't just set out to do a good job. Set out to do such a good job that the living, the dead, or the unborn couldn't do it any better. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera, sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry, sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine at the top of the hill, be a shrub in the valley. Be the best little shrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Does anybody know who that was? Martin Luther King. It was his street sweeper speech. And he did it with a little more inflection and a little more excitement than me, but it's a good one. Be in your spot. Our spot's to be Mary. Our spot's to be Mary. Be the best Mary that you can be. This story, this Luke 10 story, and you can read the other accounts of it in different places in the gospel. To me, it was a normal story, and probably all of us have heard this story. All of us have read this story, but it really caught me off guard. And the reason it did is because Jesus supported the one that was just sitting, like I said earlier. And he somewhat rebuked the one who was working. And actually, quite a while ago when I put this together, well, I guess the first version of it, but quite a while ago, when I was reading through here, I started making notes because it was bothersome to me. And it kind of, as Acts 2 says, it kind of pricked me in the heart because I was on the wrong side of Jesus. And I thought, man, I've got to look into that and understand that a little bit more, because I remember it, and Martha was working and Mary wasn't helping. But to bring it full circle, like I said earlier, she was sitting in front of Jesus Christ. She got it, and she just wanted her moment with the King. I'm going to read Mark 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, Mark 12:28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." We know that Matthew 6:33 also says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You can serve, you can serve, you can serve, serve away, but down deep, if your heart, your number one mission isn't to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor, you've missed our purpose. Just like in Samuel, when I opened in Samuel reading, Saul was rebuked. And he said, "Well, we have all these things, but they're for sacrifice." Because he was being rebuked by Samuel because he told him to utterly destroy him. And they kept the livestock and the king. And he actually said, "Well, the people kept them." Threw the people under the bus, great leadership. That's like, don't do that, rule number one in leadership 101, okay? The people took the livestock, but they took them to sacrifice. And he said, it's better to obey. So better to obey, to worship the King of Kings and to do what he tells you to do, rather than to sacrifice, rather than to stew about, rather than to mill around serving. Make sure you do one before you worry about the next steps. I have one more story to read. It's a quick one. It's about our purpose. It's about being true to yourself. And this one really got me, so I wanted to share it at the end of this. There's a story about a young Jewish boy, and this is a true story. The story about a young Jewish boy who grew up in Germany many years ago. The lad had a profound sense of admiration for his father, who saw to it that the life of the family revolved around the religious practices of their faith. The father led them to the synagogue faithfully. In his teen years, however, the boy's family was forced to move to another town in Germany. This town had no synagogue, only a Lutheran church. The life of the community revolved around the Lutheran church. All the best people belonged to it. Suddenly, the father announced to the family that they were all going to abandon their Jewish traditions and join the Lutheran church. When the stunned family asked why, the father explained that it would be good for his business. The youngster was bewildered and confused. His deep disappointment soon gave way to anger and a kind of intense bitterness that plagued him throughout his life. Later, he left Germany and went to England to study. Each day found him at the British Museum formulating his ideas and composing a book. In the book, he introduced a whole new worldview and conceived a movement that was designed to change the world. He described religion as the opiate for the masses. He committed the people who followed him to life without God. His ideas became the norm for governments for almost half of the world's people. His name? Karl Marx. You probably are saying, what does this have to do with Mary and Martha? Not a lot. Not a lot at all, but I read a lot, and I have a lot of notes in this one. He didn't have a deep rooting in his faith, or he wouldn't have flipped. The dad did not root himself, or he never would have flipped. It was a show. He was busy about stewing and serving, instead of being like Mary and basking in his faith. And what that what his not being true to himself, to not really being a Mary in his faith, led to was what we know as communism today. And this is not, again, intended to be political. It's an illustration to show that the decisions that we make, the level of sincerity that we take when we serve or we actually bask in worship, live on for generation to generation to generation. We have to be true to ourselves, and we have to be Mary first before we get into the other things. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And number two, love your neighbor. That, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Coffey. Amen. Amen. Sister Dorflinger said it's more than just memorizing scripture, but she prays that when life is lived, that those scriptures would somehow come forward and they would influence their lives. And I, as a pastor, when scriptures, when preaching goes forward, that it just doesn't sit for a while and then leave, but it will actually create something within our lives to, well, restrain us, to help us to be more like our God. About 20 years ago, I preached a message entitled, "Don't Just Do Something, Stand There." Now, the world says, don't just stand there, do something. But that message was all about, you know what? We all can react to certain things. And I remember maybe a week or two after I preached that message, Brother Frank Bailey called me and said, I had a situation at work. And I remember the title of that message, don't just do something, stand there. And it takes a greater fortitude not to do something sometimes than to do something. And I love that scripture that Brother Coffey read in 1 Samuel 15 about, you know, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. But what it all began was in verse 17 when Samuel, his pastor, said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. But when you get to the place where you're not little in your own sight, when you really think you're somebody, when you really take a position, well, then all of a sudden God's saying, you know, I guess we're all called to be servants of God. And we sing that song, just to sit at his feet, put my head on his chest, to feel his heartbeat. That's the greatest position that we could ever occupy, you know? And I know some people are comfortable in the holy place when they should be getting into the holiest of holies. Because service isn't where we belong. It's where we can just get a hold of God and worship him for everything that we have. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that. I want to be a Mary. You know, I'd like to be impetuous sometimes like Peter. And Peter outran John. But then he stopped at the mouth of the tomb. But John, the one who showed his affection, ran in. I want to run in where others perhaps will stop short. This morning, people started running to the altar because of the love of God, not because somebody says, come on, let's praise God. Come on, let's clap our hands. You know what? I can't handle that. It's either got to be genuine and it comes from you, let's create a bunch of Marys here. Amen. The first one that saw Jesus after the resurrection. Amen. Again, thank you, Brother Coffee. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to invite all the Marys to come forward.